From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. So very happy to have you with us today. We've got a lot going on and a lot to get to. And I want to start out today, being Halloween, with a bit of an alarming story, and it involves all of you voters out there. So the latest information we're getting from Politico, they've been running the numbers of early voting, and it turns out there is a problem. Now, Turning Point USA put out a statement yesterday alerting everyone to the problem. And it is a concern. Now, I don't want you to panic, because now is not the time to panic. But the reality is that today, for example, in Tennessee, the last day of early voting, and many early voting states, things are winding down either today or tomorrow, the last day for early voting. So here's the problem. It turns out that women have been leading this massive a stampede to the ballot box in early voting. Not men, but women. And according to the surveys, and they were looking at a couple of states here, a battleground states, Michigan, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, and Georgia. And they discovered in those states that roughly 55% of the early vote came from female voters and about 45% came from male voters. That is a 10-point gender gap. And I've been talking to a few folks within Team Trump world, and they're a little concerned by these numbers. Charlie Kirk over at Turning Point USA, a little concerned by these numbers. It hasn't been a surprise. If you've noticed this over the past couple of days, there's been a move among Republicans to say President Trump needs to tone down on the masculinity of the campaign. In other words, the concern was that Trump's style, the Madison Square Garden rally, may be a turnoff to female voters. That's the concern out there, which is why you've seen people like Nikki Haley getting out there and complaining about the, she didn't use the word toxic, but that's the route she was going. So the recommendation coming from a good many people on the Republican side and the pollster world and the political strategist world is that there needs to be a more definitive message for the female voters on the Republican side of the ballot. Now, look, it could very well be that everybody, including Team Trump, is reading this wrong. And it could be that every woman going out and voting is actually going out and voting because they are supporting Donald Trump. I mean, that could be the reason why. But that may not be the case. And the concern here is that the abortion issue is driving women to the polls. Kamala Harris and the Democrats have been just pounding this one message. They are a one-issue campaign right now. The only issue that matters to the Democrats is whether or not a woman can kill her unborn child. That is the central number one theme of Kamala Harris's campaign. And it is moving the needle. And that is a concern. So the question is, what's going to happen? And you say, well, Todd, we ought to panic. No, don't panic just yet. And the reason why I say that is because historically men have actually outpaced women voting on election day. So all of this, and again, we don't know. We just don't know the breakdown between the women who are voting for Trump and the women who are voting for Kamala. We won't know that until the votes are counted. But it's enough of a concern that Charlie Kirk and Turning Point USA and all of that crowd are sounding the alarm. So I'm curious, what is it that's driving the women to the ballot box? Is it the issue of abortion? And if it is, we could have trouble on our hands. ladies and gentlemen. I'm just going to be honest with you. I've told you I believe Trump is going to win in a landslide if we the people, if all of the good Christians in America get out to vote, if all of us do our part. But if the men of America decide that they're not going to go and vote, well, come on. So let me cut to the chase here and explain this so hopefully every man out there will be able to understand. Men, if you stay home and you don't vote, Kamala Harris will be the next president of the United States. That's it in a nutshell. But there's something even worse lurking. Tampon Tim will be one heartbeat away from the presidency. And I'm not sure we want a guy doing jazz hands in the Oval Office. I'm just saying. So we've got a big challenge on our hands, and this has been an issue going back from when Nikki Haley, and again, the decision was made, we don't want Nikki Haley out there on the campaign trail. Okay, fine, that's fine. The reality is, though, Nikki Haley was getting a lot of establishment and never Trump vote out there. So the problem is, you may not want Nikki Haley to be a part of your campaign, but that comes with a price. And if the polling data is to be believed, this election is very close. I still don't believe it's that close. But if we're to believe the data, then we need every single vote we can get. And if that means putting Nikki Haley out there on stage with Donald Trump, okay, let's do it. We've got an election to win. We've got bigger fish to fry. So the question is, what can we do between now and election day? Well, here's what we can do. We can encourage every man in America to get his butt up off of the lazy boy, get off your blessed assurance, and go and vote on election day. I mean, it really is that simple. So, folks, we can't go door to door and physically pull people out of their homes and send them to the ballot box. That's what the Democrats do. I'm just telling you, on this Halloween, and I hate to provide some scary news for you, but this is not a done deal just yet. And I was just as surprised as these numbers. We have seen historic numbers, but the historic numbers may not be working out to our favor in some cases. Now, there's going to be a lot of blame to go around here if things go south. But let me say a couple of things. And we should have learned this lesson when Carrie Lake was running in Arizona for the governor's office. And what did Carrie Lake say? She went out and told John McCain's supporters, I don't need you. And she said, basically, to hell with you. And guess what happened? They said, okay, no problem. We're just not going to go vote on election day. And she lost. So I'm just saying here, folks, we need all hands on deck. And if it means bringing more women up on the stage, fine, bring more women up on the stage. If it means fine-tuning the message a little bit, okay, fine, let's fine-tune the message a little bit. Or maybe some of you out there say, Trump is doing the right thing, and if it's not generating people getting out and voting, then so what? Well, I'm telling you, it's, folks, we're in a weird time right now. This is the most bizarre campaign cycle I have seen. But again, my hope is and my trust is that the American people are going to do the right thing and get out and vote. But I'm curious, are you surprised, especially you folks in Carolina and Georgia? We have a lot of radio stations that carry our show in those two states. Are you guys surprised that women are outpacing men? And I'm curious to know why. Men, are you waiting till election day to go and vote as you traditionally do? Or have you decided you're just not going to go and vote? So our telephone number here is 901-260-5926. Again, that's 901-260-5926. So here's President Trump last night, and I suspect, the campaign, they're having these conversations, and the campaign is concerned about this. Here is President Trump last night in Green Bay, Wisconsin, cut 9.
And my people told me about 4 weeks ago, I was saying, no, I want to protect the people. I want to protect the women of our country. I want to protect the women. Sir, please don't say that. Why? They said, we think it's very inappropriate for you to say. I said, why? I'm president. I want to protect the women of our country. They said, They said, sir, I just think it's inappropriate for you to say, pay these guys a lot of money. Can you believe it? I said, well, I'm going to do it whether the women like it or not. I'm going to protect them.
So there's the president. And look, I would like to think the average woman in America would want someone like Donald Trump in the Oval Office. The Harris campaign says this is a huge advantage. And the headlines, women dominate early voting as Donald Trump supporters get nervous. So there we have it, ladies and gentlemen. The question is, what are we going to do about it? Does the campaign need to tweak the messaging here as we go into the final few days of this campaign? Again, our number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Can you imagine your child being lost alone in the woods for 9 days? Well, the new movie, Lost on a Mountain in Maine, produced by Sylvester Stallone, is the inspiring true story of 12-year-old Don Fendler, separated from his family in a fast-moving storm and lost in the remote wilderness of northern Maine. For 9 days, he fights to stay alive with no food, no proper clothing, didn't even know the danger he was in. Don's disappearance captured national headlines, sparking a massive search effort with hundreds of volunteers, including his own father, who was afraid he'd never see his son again. Don't miss the inspirational family adventure film of the year, Lost on a Mountain in Maine from Blue Fox Entertainment, coming to theaters nationwide on November 1st. You can get tickets online right now at LostOnAMountainInMaineMovie.com. That's LostOnAMountainInMaineMovie.com. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Great to have you with us. Here's what one of our listeners wrote on our Facebook live stream. I'm afraid that many women will be silent voters for Kamala, all because they agree with her pro-abortion till birth policy. I hope I am wrong. There is so much more at stake. You know, this is interesting. And we haven't really had a conversation about this, but the reality is a lot of Republican women out there are actually pro-abortion. And I'm talking about I'm not talking about just the first ladies. I mean, going all the way back to I don't know where Pat Nixon stood on, but Betty Ford was pro-abortion. So was Rosalind Carter. So was let's see here, Laura Bush. I'm not sure about Nancy Reagan, but Laura Bush was definitely pro-abortion. And then you throw all the other Democrats in there. But I'm talking about the Republican women. And this has been an issue. And so that's actually a fair question. Will some of these Republican women be going to the ballot box? Did they buy into this abortion until the day of birth argument out there? 901-260-5926. Let's go to Hendersonville, North Carolina. Reed is listening to us on WHKP. And Reed, I understand you voted?
I voted for the first time in 50 years.
50 years. Well, what was it that Reed, that compelled you to get to the ballot box?
Well, if a woman don't know if she's an Indian or a black person, I don't think she needs to be the president.
Oh, well, yeah, that's a big issue for a lot of people. As a matter of fact, there was a great interview that MSNBC did with a lot of black conservatives up in Detroit, Michigan, and they all said to a person that she's really not black. So I don't know about that. Well, Reed, I'm excited that you voted. Why is it that you didn't vote, say, like in 2020 or 2016?
Well, I was occupied.
All right. Well, Reed, I appreciate that call. Thank you for that. 901-260-5926 is our number. All right. This is former New Jersey Governor Christine Todd Whitman. She's not a big Trump fan at all. Again, she's one of these pro-abortion Republican, and she wants to physically attack Donald Trump. You can't make this up. Let's listen.
Harris, 19 points. She is leading Donald Trump among women. That is above where Biden was against the president at that time in 2020. Your thoughts, Governor Whitman?
Well, frankly, that comment of his, whether they like it or not, is just infuriating. And I think there are a lot of women who are still somewhat hesitant. Those women who are on the fence, to whom that will be extremely offensive, and it will sway the vote. I don't know why we're still talking about the trash thing, of the fact that Joe Biden mentioned that, when Donald Trump has been denigrating people, men, women, minorities. They're calling them trash, calling them vermin, you know, poisoning our blood. We have to stop talking about the things he's talking about and say, look at the things that he's done and how his language is affecting the way we look at this election, the undermining of the public's confidence in the electoral system. It's all part of this package. And I do agree that his base loves this, but there are still, amazing to me, number of people who haven't quite made up their mind. And it's comments like he's going to take care of women whether they like it or not that just makes you clench your fist. It makes me clench my fist, want to smack him across the face. He's not taking care of me or my body.
There you go. So there's a rabid division, a rabid strain of the pro-abortionist within the Republican Party. And this may be a silent minority. It may be a silent majority. Regardless, ladies and gentlemen, it's going to be a problem on Election Day if the race is actually close. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. So yesterday, Joe Biden was at the White House. They had a big Halloween party. And you've seen it all before. They decorate the White House, looks like the haunted house. And Mrs. Dr. First Lady Jill Biden came out dressed like a panda. And you had Joe Biden out there. And all of a sudden, they bring up these little babies. And we've got all this video on ToddStearns.com, so you can see it for yourself. And so Biden goes up to this little baby. This woman's holding her baby. And the baby is dressed up like, I don't know, a chicken or a turkey. And so the next thing you see, Biden bends down and he's got the entire thigh of the child in his mouth like he's gnawing on a turkey leg. Other video shows Biden attacking other children. In one instance, there was a little child that had no shoe or sock on, and Biden is literally slurping the child's foot, putting the child's foot in his mouth. Who does that? There are some on the left that are trying to justify all the, oh, well, you know, that's just what grandpas do. They love to suck on their grandchildren's toes. I don't think so. I can tell you that Pawpaw Starnes never sucked on any of the grandchildren's toes. Oh, I'm certain of that. What the hell is going on at the White House? Could somebody call, like, Children's Services? I mean, somebody needs to save the children, for goodness sakes. I've never seen anything like this. They're eating the cats. They're eating the dogs. They're eating the cats and the dogs, and they're nibbling on the children. What's wrong with this political party, America? Tell me, what is wrong with this political party? Hashtag pedos. I'm telling you. You remember the documents, Pedo Peter? Right? We all know who that is. Wink, wink, nod, nod. But who in their right mind would bring their children to the White House, especially small babies? Those kids are going to be traumatized. I'm telling you, they're going to have like little cramps in the little, like the big toe, the little toe. It's traumatic. 901-260-5926. Remember, go look at our website. We got the video there. Don't eat a sandwich while you're watching it. It's a little disgusting. I'm excited to introduce you to Kalshi, the first legal exchange where you can trade on the outcome of real-world events. Now, Kalshi recently got approval to list markets on the upcoming election, making it the first legal platform in 100 years where you can trade on election results. With Kalshi, you can trade on key political events like who will win the presidential election, control of the House and Senate, and even swing state outcomes. Right now, for example, markets are showing a close 50-50 split between between major candidates, meaning you could double your money if you predict the winner. Now, Kalshi has already facilitated over $1 billion in trades, providing a secure and regulated space for people like you to profit from your predictions. And the best part? Well, the election markets are live and ready for trading right now. To get started, sign up using my exclusive link, Kalshi.com/Starnes. That's KALSHI.com/Starnes. And the first 500 people who deposit $50 get an extra $20 credit to trade. Don't miss out. Sign up today and start trading on what you know. All right, anybody doing the trick-or-treating? Do you have the kids come to the house? I had to stop by Kroger before I came in today to get to bulk up on supplies. And I just don't want to get rolled or egged. So I always make sure for the children, they get the full-size candy bars. And I'm pretty much a traditionalist. It's either going to be you get the Hershey bars, you get the maybe the Reese's peanut butter cups and some M&Ms, and that'll get you through it. And maybe, you know, a bottle of wine. So anyway, just curious about that. But anyway, it was like a madhouse this morning, like 7 o'clock in the morning at Kroger. I didn't realize that's when all the grandmas go grocery shopping. So, which I have nothing against grandmas going grocery shopping. But I will say this, it took about, 75 minutes to get through the self-checkout line there. Kind of got to speed it up, Grandma. Got to speed it up. Got things to do. All right. Can we talk about President Trump? I want to say this, and he is the greatest president of all time. Donald J. Trump is the greatest president of all time. It doesn't matter if the guy is working the drive-thru at McDonald's or if he is riding shotgun in a garbage truck in Green Bay, Wisconsin. This guy is epic. It's really been a marvelous campaign season because President Trump has actually made it so entertaining. So if you missed all of this, we've got the video over on ToddStearns.com. And I want to play this for you. Dylan, did we excise the naughty word? So, you know how the president gets. It gets a little salty. It's all right. But, you know, the FCC, they're listening. We have earlobes lurking. So we had to be careful. So I want to play this for you because this is a brilliant, brilliant speech the president delivered in Green Bay, Wisconsin. And he just nails it. This is President Trump. And he shows up. Again, the plane lands. Trump Force One lands in Green Bay. And all of a sudden, this big garbage truck pulls up. It's got the Trump sign emblazoned on the side, American flags. And then Trump gets off of the plane, climbs into the cab of the car, and then the president explains how it all went down. Cut four.
So this outfit, you know, is when he called us all garbage. How stupid. What a stupid word. That blows deplorable away, don't you think? Of course, I thought irredeemable when she said deplorable or irredeemable. I thought irredeemable was actually worse, but deplorable seemed to catch up. But this garbage stuff blows it away. So I'm in this beautiful plane. I'm enjoying myself. Have a wonderful suit on. And one of my people came in and said, "Sir, you know, the word garbage is the hottest thing right now out there. The hottest thing out there. Sir, would you like to drive a garbage truck?" Now, we're about, 30 minutes from landing. We had to do this pretty quick. I said, "It's sort of cool, though, isn't it? Because, you know." And I said, "I think that's okay. But, I don't feel comfortable wearing a suit." And they pulled up this garbage truck. I don't know how the hell they did it so fast. I have very capable people. They put a big sign on the truck. Did you see it? I think they showed it.
A big sign. Yeah.
And then they said, "Sir, we have a vest." I said, "Well, Should I leave my suit on and put it over the vest? But that doesn't look very good, right? That doesn't look good. So I said, all right, look, let me take it off. And then I actually said, I climbed into the truck, but here's the... So I said, how the hell do you get into this truck? It's way up high. It's a big one. This was a beauty. I said, you didn't have to buy it that big, right? You have to get it that big? They brought this brand new, gorgeous truck, wonderful driver. He looked like Cary Grant in his prime. You know who that is? This beautiful driver. And he drove that big thing up. And I said, man, this is bad, because now I have all the cameras are all watching. Look at all the fake news. They were most of them.
Boo! CBS News, boo!
Now, most of them, many of them were there. And I'm saying, oh, boy. You know, one little mistake with these guys and your political career is over. You can't even. So I said, man, if I don't get up there, this is going to be very embarrassing. These stupid people, they'll say, he's cognitively and physically impaired. And I can't do that when I'm alongside of this great athlete. I got to get up to that. So the stair, the first stair is like up here. I'm saying, So I had the adrenaline going and I made it. And then I gave a little news conference from the front of the, you know, they asked their wise guy questions and everything. And then we drove about 2 feet. I got out, got in the plane. And then I got in the car and I'm driving over here and I have this still on. And I come into the arena and I say, where's my jacket? I want to get out of this thing. And they said, it would be unbelievable if you could wear it on stage. I said, no way. I got 25,000 people standing outside. I got all these people here. There's no way I'm wearing it on stage. They said, oh, okay, sir. I said, get me my jacket. But if you did, you know, it actually makes you look thinner. I said,
very slimming.
And they got me. I said, I want to wear it on stage. When they said I look thinner, I said, in that case, I'll wear it on stage. I may never wear a blue jacket again. I may go in this. They said that. That was the word. That was the key. Sir, you look thinner. So anyway, so we had a little fun about a very serious subject. We had a little fun about a time where our country is not having a lot of fun because we're not doing well as a country, but we're going to be doing well very shortly, I promise you that.
Yeah, we are. I got to tell you, folks, that was an iconic moment. And the fact that you can have a man get up there like Donald Trump and poke fun at himself and poke fun at how he looked at the stairs and he was trying to figure out how do you get up into the cab of this giant garbage truck. And he was actually right because the mainstream media went after Trump over this entire episode. And I don't think they just don't get it. They don't understand that Donald Trump is conveying himself as a regular guy, an average Joe out there, sitting in the cab of a garbage truck. Who does that? I mean, Kamala Harris, when you look at Kamala, there's no way she could do this. There's no way Kamala can laugh at herself. We don't want her to laugh at herself. Nobody wants to hear that godforsaken cackle. My pretty wine. I need wine. Josh, no, it's serious. People, folks, they don't get it. The media, they either don't get it or they don't want to get it. But the reality is that Trump is connecting with people here. It was a beautiful moment. And you do sense that Trump has this momentum. But again, going back to that concern, the numbers of women that were going to the polls for early voting, were they voting because of Kamala Harris's position on abortion. That's the great unknown right now. And that's why every guy in America, you've got to get out and you've got to vote, or else we're going to have to deal with that cackle every freaking day on this radio program. And I don't know if I can do that, America. I love you, but I don't know if I love you that much. Let's go to the phones, 901-260-5926. Lisa, Gainesville, Georgia. Lisa, you're a woman.
I am. I'm your age also, Todd.
Well, then you're a seasoned, you're a seasoned woman.
I am a seasoned woman. I just wanted to tell you, I found myself at 36 with an unplanned pregnancy. I never once thought about aborting my son. He is now 19 years old in Army boot camp. It was hard, but I never, ever thought about aborting him. Now, when I heard what Trump said about taking care of the women, maybe I took that the wrong way. I thought he was talking about protecting us from all these terrorists in our country, all these illegals in the country doing horrible things to women. What has happened to some of these women is my worst nightmare, and I know many women's worst nightmare. I loved what he said. Loved it.
Yeah, Lisa, they're taking it so far out of context, and I took it to mean that he was going to protect the women, the female athletes that are coming under attack by these transgender freaks and perverts out there. You've got so many young girls that are being, you know, finding themselves in a bathroom or locker room with some big hairy dude. And Trump is coming in and, you know, he's already promised executive order that would ban men, hairy men, from women's sports. That's what I thought he was talking about, but they're making it sound like he's going to give men the right to go out there and physically assault women. Honest to God, that's what they're alleging.
Yeah, I love what he said. I think he's going to keep my life safe. I get scared every day going out around town. I get scared. I'm in Gainesville, Georgia. I get scared. That's our worst nightmare.
Yeah.
And I love what President Trump said. I love it.
Lisa, were you one of those early voters? Are you going to wait till Election Day?
No, I voted the second day.
Good for you. Did you notice, yeah. I'm just curious, as you're standing in line for the polls, did you notice more women than men?
I did see a lot of women, but no, it didn't even faze me. It was a nice mixed bag up here in Gainesville.
Well, I'm also surprised, and again, it's just hard to gauge where things are right now. But I know that numbers are down, early voting totals are down from 2020. But my question is, all right, well, if they're down, are they down on the Republican side of the ledger or the Democrat side of the ledger? And I know here in Tennessee, Democrat voting enthusiasm is down, and I'm hearing at least in North Carolina that the enthusiasm, especially among black Democrats, is cratering right now. And if that's the case, then that's a good sign for President Trump. But again, Georgia, you guys are going to factor into all of this.
I think America and the people in Georgia, we've had enough of this crazy. We've had enough. And it's going to be a great surprise. Trump is going to win in a landslide. There's no doubt in my mind. There's no doubt. God is on our side. God is on our side. He has protected Trump for a reason. And I truly believe that.
Well, I'm with you there. As a matter of fact, we were talking about this earlier in the week. Ben Dieter sent me a story about witches who've been trying to cast spells on Donald Trump for the longest time. And the spells aren't working. That's from CBN News. And they're saying that they've got the witches and what is it? The male witches? Witchettes? No. Warlocks. Thank you, Lisa. There we go. The witches and the warlocks. And they're trying to cast these spells using orange candles and tarot cards, and none of it is working.
And it'll never happen. God has arms wrapped around Trump. He's got plans for him.
I believe that. Lisa, got to run for a break. Thank you. Appreciate your analysis. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926. Again, that's 901-260-5926. Lisa says that God has a plan for Donald Trump. What say you? We'll be right back. A large retail store just canceled a huge order, leaving MyPillow with a ton of extra MyPillows. But you know what? That's their loss and your gain. For the first time ever, you can get a standard classic MyPillow
for wholesale prices, only $14.88. But it gets better. For a limited time, they're offering their entire classic collection at wholesale prices. Get queen-size My Pillows for just $18.88. Upgrade to a king for only a buck more. Get the body pillows for $29.88 and multi-use My Pillows for only $9.98. Go to MyPillow.com and use promo code STARNS or call 800-839-8506 and take advantage of wholesale pricing for the first time ever. On top of that, receive free shipping on orders over $75. There have never been offered this low before. There are limited quantities. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 and use promo code STARNS to get the standard MyPillow for only $14.88, the lowest price ever. All right, welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us on this Halloween. A little rainy and stormy in Memphis, Tennessee. Hey, let's go to Flowery Branch, Georgia. Janet is on the line. Hi, Janet. What's on your mind today?
Oh, hi, Todd. I'm in Flowery Branch, Georgia, and I'm with the Republican Women of Polk County. And every woman I know is going out for Trump, not just in Polk County, but many counties in Georgia. We are there for Trump, not for Kamala. It's not about the abortion issue. It's about our economy. It's about keeping our families and our children safe. It's about bringing God back into the picture. It is not about abortion. The women I know are not voting for Kamala.
Yeah, that's the big question here. How many Republican women are pro-abortion? And that's going to be their reason for not voting for Donald Trump. That's the only concern I have here, because they are hammering this today. As a matter of fact, Janet, in the next hour, we're going to play some audio. Kamala Harris just weighed in on President Trump's comments, which, by the way, they took out of context. You know, they want you to think that Trump is saying that, he's going to allow men to assault women whether they like it or not. That's not what he said. He was talking about protecting women from the illegals. He's been talking about protecting women from these transgender perverts. That's what he's talking about. But the media and the Democrats are completely twisting this. And, you know, look, they do this all the time. You know that, right?
Yes. Yes. But I'm like your other caller. I didn't take it that way. I believe he's trying to protect us from what the immigrants are doing to those young women he talked about in his speeches who have been brutally murdered by illegal immigrants. And he's going to protect us from that and from men and women's sports and tampons in the boys' bathrooms, all of that. That's what he's talking about.
And well said. Janet, thank you for that call. This coming in from Erie County, Pennsylvania, the city council president, Jasmine Flores. She's a piece of work, this one. Here's what she wrote. About 90% of you, if not more, and she's talking about you MAGA supporters, you need to be honest with yourselves and acknowledge that white hood you all own or were raised to own because of your sick family history. She's talking about all of you white Trump supporters who are wearing the red MAGA hat. She's now comparing that to a KKK hat. This is Jasmine Flores from Erie County, Pennsylvania. She goes on to write to her constituents. This is unbelievable. You are a racist. And if you're a person of color, you need to stop hating yourself and find your roots, because you are lost and your assimilation is showing. And you are embarrassing the rest of us who have educated ourselves on the real American history with all its bloodshed and slaughter for black and brown people. That red hat is the new white hood for the KKK. And I want to be wrong, but when people show you who they are, you have to believe them. So here you have an elected official in Erie County, Pennsylvania, the city council president, Jasmine Flores, calling all of you Trump supporters, black and white, KKK. You can't. I mean, what? You can't make this up. What do you say to some chick like Jasmine Flores, who has to be embracing the whole DEI? What do you say to somebody like that? Well, then go make me a sandwich. Shut up and make me a sandwich. No, you can't say that. I don't think you can say that. make me a taco. No, you can't definitely say that. That's why that would be inappropriate. There you go, folks. So, again, deplorable, Nazis, bitter, clingers, garbage. The name calling goes on and on and on. All right, hang tight, everybody. Hour two of the Big Show coming up next. I'm excited to introduce you to Kalshi, the first legal exchange where you can trade on the outcome of real-world events. Now, Kalshi recently got approval to list markets on the upcoming election, making it the first legal platform in 100 years where you can trade on election results. With Kalshi, you can trade on key political events like who will win the presidential election, control of the House and Senate, and even swing state outcomes. Right now, for example, markets are showing a close 50-50 split between major candidates, meaning you could double your money if you predict the winner. Now, Kalshi has already facilitated over $1 billion in trades, providing a secure and regulated space for people like you to profit from your predictions. And the best part? Well, the election markets are live and ready for trading right now. To get started, sign up using my exclusive link, Kalshi.com/Starnes. That's KALSHI.com/Starnes. And the first 500 people who deposit $50 get an extra $20 credit to trade. Don't miss out. Sign up today and start trading on what you know.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Happy Halloween to you. And by the way, the best Halloween costume ever, Ben Dieter, our morning show host at KWAN, the flagship radio station of this program. We'll get Dieter on a little bit later on to describe the amount of work that went into his spectacular costume, and we'll try to post a photo of that as well. So just a few moments ago, Mark Cuban was on The View with the Squawking Magpies, and here's what he had to say about all of you women who are supporting Donald Trump.
Donald Trump, you never see him around strong, intelligent women, ever. It's just that simple.
Okay, there we go. I want to bring in a very strong and intelligent woman to respond to that. She is Gunnery Sergeant Jessie Jane Duff from the Trump campaign. She is the Executive Director of Veterans for Trump. Jessie Jane, always good to have you on the show.
Oh, thank you so much for inviting me. I think Mark Cuban, who I've kind of described as a jock strap sniffer, based upon his apparent love of chasing around athletes, doesn't have really a comprehension of what it's like to actually himself have strong female leadership in his realm. President Trump has always surrounded himself with very strong female advisors, people that he's made appointments to. I myself was selected by President Trump to be the executive director of Veterans for Trump. So that in itself just demonstrates that there's no intimidation by Donald J. Trump. Anybody who's watched me long enough, and, you know, Todd, we go way back many, many, many years, knows that I have never been shy about presenting my opinion. I wear my heart on my sleeve, and I'm very vocal when I disagree. So, you know, if the president was insecure with something like that, I would be the last person he would have selected to run the Veterans Coalition, which, by the way, is the largest coalition of 190,000 veterans that are standing beside Donald J. Trump, largest coalition ever in the history of any political campaign, any president, current or former.
Yeah, I know they're trying to create this, you know, these fake narratives around Trump, and this one is so off base. If you remember going all the way back to when they were building Trump Tower, this would have been, what, back in the late 70s, early 80s, and President Trump actually hired a woman as his vice mm-hmm. president in charge of construction. Her name was Barbara Ress, and she was the very first woman to oversee a major construction site in New York City.
Absolutely.
Come on.
And look at Kellyanne Poles, the first female to actually be the campaign manager of a winning campaign. You know, he has continually selected women. His comms have always been strong women. He has ensured that women have a voice and are seen. Linda McMahon, Small Business Administration. We could go down a litany of women that were appointees, cabinet members. Look at the female judge to the Supreme Court. I mean, honestly, it's just, I don't think anybody is falling for this type of rhetoric. Like, oh, gee, really, Mark? You're right. I'm going to switch my vote. Come on. I don't think anybody's buying it. Even the Harris people aren't buying it because they know darn well that that's not true. People are pretty much locked into whom they're going to vote for. And I have a very strong feeling that women are going to come out overwhelmingly for President Donald J. Trump. In fact, in 2020, our largest coalition at that time was the Women for Trump Coalition, and women were overwhelmingly coming out for a lot of various reasons, including small businesses that were able to get started under President Trump. Women succeeded in massive levels. The child tax credit for those that were single parents in particular, this impacted. I mean, everything that he did helped women get forward. And not only that, he has always had very strong female advisors, including his own daughter, Ivanka Trump, who has actually made a massive difference for women even overseas so that they were able to help themselves be established and more business worthy. Because think about it, a lot of our illegal immigration is fleeing countries that have no opportunities, for particularly for women. So, you know, this is just a misnarrative. It just goes to show that that Cuba's been drinking too much of the Gatorade on the side courts of, you know, his former Mavericks.
So last night, Charlie Kirk posted a note very concerned about the number of women outpacing men in early voting. I think there's a 10-point gap in the battleground states. There is some concern that it may be the abortion issue is driving women to the polls. I don't know. That's a concern. Yeah. We've certainly seen that. But what's your take on it?
Well, I think it's unfair to assume that just because women are outpacing men, that women are leaning toward Kamala Harris.
Exactly.
I think, if anything,
yeah,
she's invigorated women to be disgusted. Her only issue is abortion, and all of us understand out here, there's not a single woman in the United States that doesn't understand how to prevent an unwanted pregnancy, number one. Number two, most women are not running on an extreme abortion package that she wants to bring forward. President Trump has ensured that it's no longer in the state of hands of the federal government. It's a states' rights issue, and almost every single state out there has very much stuck with the 15-week, you know, rule, if not a little bit even longer. Look, women are more concerned about issues that are pressing the family, such as high grocery prices. I mean, baby formula is approaching 30% higher than it was under Donald J. Trump. Wages have dropped 3% versus over 8% with Donald J. Trump. Your auto insurance is up over 54%. Your food bill is well over 25%, 23 to 25%. We are looking at families having to make anywhere between $7,000 to $11,000 more a year to keep up with the inflation rates of President Biden and Kamala Harris. So to assume it's an abortion issue, I think that's not giving women enough credit. There's too many women out there that is not on the forefront of their minds. The top three issues are probably your economic, your national security, and illegal immigration. Illegal immigration is impacting women and children probably at a rate much higher than we desire. When we talk about how many children have been killed due to illegal immigration, how many mothers that have been killed, how many families by these illegals and DUIs, for example, where they've hit a car and an entire family's taken out, and it's been usually a illegal that has been deported maybe two or three times already. We had the mother in Maryland who was found in a drainage pipe, and she was the mother of five children. We've heard about the 12-year-old little girl that was taken from her own bedroom and found at the skate park, raped and her hands tied and bound. This has been featured on the Trump War Room account. And President Trump has spoken about this horrific experience at multiple rallies. This is what scares American women. Women do not want to see that these 400,000-plus criminals that have come over the borders, let them know, what is it, over 16,000 violent criminals, murders, and rapists have been allowed over our borders. We have MS-13 that will slice you and dice you 20 different ways, along with now the Argentinian gang that has taken over housing. This is what impacts women. So, you know, it's unfair for a man to assume women are going to the polls because of abortion. Now you're essentially assuming that we're not thinking these things out. And I just dare to say women just have maybe the energy their husbands don't have right now due to trying to keep up with the two jobs they have to hold down. The men are going to show up. But I am very confident this is early voting. And when you look at the numbers, Republicans are out outpacing Democrats. That means Republican women are outpacing Democrat women.
All right. Well, so you heard it there, ladies and gentlemen. Jesse Jane Duff laying down the law. Let's talk about now, between now and Election Day, Jesse Jane, what do we need to be looking at here?
Well, I do know that Pennsylvania is always going to be the tip of the spear on a lot of this. We know that a friend of mine, one of my surrogates in Pennsylvania, always said the road to the White House isn't a straight line, it's a question mark. And I love how she puts that, because it's a lot of very unusual things, I should say, in how Pennsylvania operates. So we do know that President Trump will be doing one last visit to Pennsylvania. We do want to watch Michigan, because that battleground state is going toward Trump now, which many people didn't expect, when we had an overwhelming majority of these Arab communities have decided to endorse President Trump. And you have the union workers and those that were normally factory workers that were traditional Democrats have branched over to support Donald J. Trump. I'm excited about Michigan. I'm excited about Pennsylvania, because these will be home runs. Now, Wisconsin is just a minute point apart, depending upon the polls you look at. But on other polls, we see that Donald Trump is winning Wisconsin. I expect we're going to win all seven of the swing states, because this is so critical. We have Georgia, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Arizona, Nevada. Did I forget anybody? Oh, North Carolina. And North Carolina, they've had a very an incredible early voter turnout, which a lot of people didn't expect because of the hurricanes. But if anything, it invigorated them more to show up. We do hear about some of these election integrity issues. I would just say to everybody, do not let that discourage you. Fill out your paper ballots. Make sure that they are submitted on time. Vote early. You can vote in person early. Check swampthevoteusa.com. swampthevoteusa.com. And you can see where you can place your ballots and where you can get your early ballots out there. Get your friends and families out there. If all of us vote, remember, it's more of us than there are of them. Don't let the Soros and Zuckerberg dollars intimidate you, or Cuban dollars, because there's more of us than there are of those billionaires, and our vote is equal to theirs. So let's show up.
All right. And Jesse, Jane, you're going to be a part of our live election night coverage. We're going to be broadcasting across the nation, 6 hours of live election night coverage on the radio. And we're going to have a great time and look forward to having you as a part of our coverage then.
Oh, well, Todd, I've always been by your side for many, many years back. We won't tell everybody how many years, because they only think we're 35 years old each.
Exactly.
So we'll just play that up.
We were in preschool together.
Yeah. Yeah, but we're still aligned, and it's an honor to always be with you, and I'm excited to see you again and talk to you again soon on election night.
All right, the great Jesse Jane Duff, ladies and gentlemen, the executive director of Veterans for Trump, and it is going to be a wonderful night. We're going to have so much fun. Grace Baker putting together an all-star lineup. Ben Dieter will be co-hosting along with yours truly. Our good friend Pamela Furr from a great radio host in Nashville is going to be joining us as well to lead up our decision desk. And we're going to have wall-to-wall fun. It all starts at 6 o'clock Eastern. And if your local radio station doesn't carry our coverage, you can always watch us or listen to us on ToddStarnes.com. All right, real quick here, I do want to go to the phones. Luke in Lula, Georgia. That's a WDUN country. And Luke, I understand you got a question.
Yes, sir. Hey, we being a Christian, I've seen all kind of evidence, that God showed us, the protecting Trump and all that. You remember when he was protecting him at Butler? He turned his head, and even his shoes flew off,
right.
On holy ground. Okay, so my question is, do you think that we've seen all this stuff that God showed us, do you think that's if you vote to with Kamala, is that a vote against God?
Well, I'll do my best to answer your question as a non-theologian here. And based on what she wants to do, if she is elected, I don't see how a Christian can in good faith vote for Kamala Harris. So when you look at that, when you look at her party platform, killing a baby on its birth date, shutting down churches, punishing Christians who believe that marriage is between a man and a woman. I think if you vote for Kamala Harris, you are taking a stand against Almighty God.
And the ones that aren't voting in the Christians, are they considered with help that they're standing on the sideline and not helping God?
Well, I do think that. Again, if you are a Christian and you are not voting because you don't like Donald Trump because of his mannerisms, his tweets or whatever, a vote against, you know, if you're going to go to the polls and not vote for anybody, that's still a vote for Kamala Harris, in my estimation. And I think that's evil. Evil, evil, evil. What is it Bonhoeffer said? Silence in the face of evil is evil itself. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act. Not to vote is to vote. I added that in myself. Luke, got to run. Appreciate that call. All right. We're bringing Dieter in here in a minute. But I also, it's Halloween. We want to have a little bit of fun leading into Friday. And we've got a copy of The Deplorables Guide to Making America Great Again to give away. And we're going to do it by tossing out a question here. And it is a Halloween-themed question. So here we go. According to the Sheb Woolley song lyric, that's your clue, Sheb Woolley, this creature is a one-eyed, one-horned, flying what? According to the Sheb Woolley song lyric, this creature is a one-eyed, one-horned, flying what? I don't know where that came from. But if you know the answer, give us a call, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be right back.
Today we have two very special guests on our program, introducing Lem and Lime.
Hello.
For Starry Lemon Lime Soda.
Thanks for having us.
What is Starry Lemon Lime Soda?
It's a crisp, clear burst of lemon lime flavor, and it's caffeine-free.
Between us, one of you must be a little more important to Starry than the other. Who is it?
We're both important.
So we could just ask as easily be Starry Lime Lemon Soda.
No, that doesn't sound right.
Ooh, I like it.
So you saying hip-hop could be hop-hip?
Works for me.
Starry Lemon Lime Soda. Starry hits different.
He did the Monster Mash.
The Monster Mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
He did the Mash.
It caught on.
All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Program. Ben Dieter's here. Dieter, how's it going?
It's going well, Todd. How are you?
All right. Happy Halloween to you.
Are you ready? Where's your costume?
No, this is my costume.
That's no costume.
I'm disguised as a Republican.
I told you were supposed to be a coconut for Kamala Harris.
Coconut.
It was a simple assignment.
So your costume this morning was pretty spectacular.
Yeah, and it was pretty affordable. Which came from the closet downstairs in your station.
From the maintenance closet.
Yeah, a hefty garbage bag.
So you went as a garbage bag.
Yeah, it was fantastic. And it was cheap, it was easy, it was warm. And I've been seeing, it's now like the number one trendiest costume in all of America to dress up like. It's not even Oscar from Sesame Street, it's just an actual garbage bag. Just for the kids out there, you have to poke holes in it. You can't put a bag over your head.
That's a good point. It's fair enough. Fair enough. Hey, Ben, let's go to the phone lines here. We have a Halloween trivia question on the table. Let's say hello to Kathy in Hendersonville, North Carolina. Hi, Kathy. How are you today?
I'm doing well, thank you.
All right. Say hello to Ben Dieter here.
Hi, Kathy. Happy Halloween.
Hi, Ben. Hi, happy Halloween.
All right. We're going to try to win you a prize here, Kathy. Here we go. According to the Sheb Woolley song lyric. Hold on. Hold that thought for just a moment. Dieter, do you have any Sheb Woolley songs in your playlist?
What is that?
Okay.
Ask Kathy after she gets the answer right.
So, Kathy, this creature is a one-eyed, one-horned, flying what?
Purple people eater.
It looks like a purple people eater to me.
Wow.
It was a one-eyed, one-horned.
All right, come on, Kathy. You got to sing along. Purple eater.
One-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater. Sure looks strange to
wow.
me.
That's
wow.
crazy.
Well done, Kathy.
Our snappers haven't heard that stuff.
Oh, they're like,
what is this from? I've never even heard of this. Is this Barney?
No, it's not Barney.
I'm Googling it right now, Kathy. wow. What is it? That's alliteration. A purple people eater.
Yeah.
Can we play it again? Can we do that so we can get let's Dieter try it out?
Okay. I'm ready to sing.
Corn flying purple people eater sure looks strange to me.
One eye.
Well, he came down to earth and he lit in a tree.
Oh,
I said, Mr. Purple People Eater, don't eat me. I heard him say in a voice so gruff,
I wouldn't eat you, cause you're so tough.
It what?
The one-eyed one.
It's insane.
Purple
Yep. Kathy's got a lovely singing voice.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, thank you.
All right, well, Kathy.
What'd she win?
Oh, yeah.
This is trick-or-treat, Todd. No, yeah, are you giving candy out?
Kathy, I'm sending you a copy of my book, The Deplorables Guide to Making America Great Again. So we're going to put you on hold, Kathy, and thanks for playing. We're going to have more trivia, so hang tight, folks. We're going to get to you. Also coming up, Dalton Glasscock. Oh, Dieter, you got to stick around for this.
I can't miss it.
All right, Dalton Glasscock's going to be here. Got to take a break. We'll be right back.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
They're creepy and they're kooky, mysterious and spooky. They're all together ooky, the Addams Family.
I thought that was the Democrats.
They're hostess and museum when people come.
All right,
to
welcome
see
back to the Halloween edition of the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Ben Dieter is like, what is going on here?
I'm just mad you don't have a costume on.
No, I'm dressed as a Republican.
Oh, okay.
So, and
you should have dressed like a Democrat.
Ben Dieter,
the Grim Reaper.
Well, that would be too horrifying for the audience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have a Rumble. We have a huge Rumble audience.
You could be Brat.
A Brat?
Brat.
Like a bratwurst, like a hot dog?
No, that's another one of the trendy costumes for 2024 in the political season. Brat. The wine aunt, Kamala Harris. It's all over everywhere. Everybody wants to be.
Right.
Yeah.
Is that true? All right. Well, hey, look, before we bring in our next guest, we've got another trivia question.
I've got
table.
It over here.
All right, Dieter. It. All right, Dieter's doing the trivia.
Wait, you first have to tell the listeners, what are they getting? There's got to be a pitch.
Yes, they're going to get our the Deplorables Guide to Making America Great Again. You will receive a signed copy.
Okay, but you first have to answer this question. Which First Lady was the first to decorate the White House for Halloween? I'm going to repeat that. What First Lady, and there has been a lot of them, was the first ever to decorate the White House for Halloween? Todd, I'm handing you the cheat sheet. That's a hard... Do people know these things?
They have to, or else you're not going to win
anything.
Can we
give them some hints?
No, we can't give them a hint.
All right, write down the telephone number and phone if you know the answer of the First Lady. Our number is 901-260-5926, 901-260-5926.
Hold on, here's the clue. It wasn't Martha Washington.
Or Eleanor Roosevelt.
Oh, God, yeah, that makes it... Come on!
It's tis the season. We've got to be helpful.
Let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Our good friend, he pays the bills here and signs the checks. Dalton Glasscock, Chief Executive Officer of Stearns Media Group, and also on the Wichita City Council. Hey, Dalton, how's it going? Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween. Am I eligible to answer the trivia question?
No.
I was calling today just to answer trivia. I didn't want to do an interview. I was just calling to answer trivia.
No, you are not qualified. You're qualified for a lot.
One hint.
No, because the phone. All right. You want one hint?
No, I will give one.
Okay. Give a hint, Dalton.
It's my favorite president.
Oh, for heaven's sakes. All right, that's a very easy that. All right, if anybody knows, I just gave a clue in the introduction. Then, so I think the lines are lighting up here. So we'll take a call in just a moment. Dalton, so for Halloween, though, by the way, do you, you know, a lot of people like decorate. I know in the Memphis area, people decorate their yards and their houses. They've got like dead people coming up out of the ground. What about you guys in Wichita?
Oh, I'm a big Halloween fan. I think I need to send around to all the KWAN staff to make sure if our building isn't decorated, it needs to be decorated today. Right. I'll be disappointed if I get no photos of any skeletons in the yard or any Democrat signs in the front of KWAN.
Oh, crap.
Those are some terrifying things, and I think we need to, you know, celebrate the holiday.
Are you dressing up for anything, Dalton?
No, but I might steal Todd's idea. I can guarantee you when you said that Todd was dressed up as a Republican, he's probably wearing his Brooks Brothers jacket.
Red tie.
Red tie.
Yeah.
Probably a like an American flag pin. He probably has a Baptist martini like close at hand. I think that's what I'm picturing right now.
Mm-hmm. We should all dress up like Todd.
Oh,
that
God.
Would be a wild Halloween
but
costume.
You guys would need extra stuffing, though. That's the you'd look at the marshmallow.
No, I wanted to do. You know how you do a couple costume. I wanted to do one with Todd because me and Todd are going to go around the city and do trick or treating. He could be the Big Mac from McDonald's, and I'll be Listeria.
Are you taking Ben on the same track?
The onions?
Or the
that's the perfect Halloween track.
The E. coli. That now they're having to take all the McDonald's Big Macs away because everything has Listeria or E. coli. I'll be the bacteria.
We don't have haunted houses here, Dalton. We have haunted neighborhoods. So we just go and if you don't get shot,
Kansas,
you're doing good.
We don't have haunted houses. We have haunted fields. So.
Oh, there you go. Hey, guys, let's go to Terry in Statesville, North Carolina. All right, Terry, the question is, the first lady, who was the first to decorate the White House for Halloween, who was it?
Well.
We need an answer.
I think it was Eisenhower's wife.
What was Eisenhower's wife's name?
What was that? Mamie.
Wow.
We had to pull it out of him.
I was nervous there for
there
a
you
second,
go, Terry.
Terry.
All right. Well done. Sheila's right coming in from Georgia saying Melania Trump. No, but Melania Trump did a lovely job. Terry, congratulations. We're going to put you on hold, and you will win a, you just won a great prize package.
Well, I guess
there.
We know Dalton's favorite president.
I think I gave too strong of a hint. I'm proud Hanson through and through.
Oh, Lord. Well, Eisenhower was a great president, and who knows? I mean, we are just days away from electing another president. And, Dalton, I know you're knee-deep in Republican politics. What's the scuttlebutt there in Kansas? I mean, again, I know pretty much you guys are going to go red, but nationwide, what's the talk?
I'm hearing from people that about 3 to 4 weeks ago, they felt a shift in the electorate. That's about when I felt the same. If you'd have asked me 3 to 4 weeks ago, I would have said that Kamala Harris would be our next president. But I say around that time, people started showing up, and I think that Trump wins on Tuesday. You know, for example, I was at a GOP rally earlier this week, and I was surprised with the number of people that had voted early. We're seeing record early voter turnout, and historically, early votes have always swung to the left. And so if Republicans can capitalize early voting, plus just add to that on Election Day, or even just meet the expectations on Election Day, there's no chance but for a win.
Hmm. Dalton, what do you make about the gender divide in America? I was actually talking to Grace Baker, who's the EP of the show, and she was telling me that a lot of her friends in her friend circle, they feel like they've been pushed out. Maybe they align more with the Republican Party on some of these economic issues, foreign policy. But even in conservative circles of Republican women, some feel pushed out. Is that what we're seeing in this, what they're saying, the gender election of 2024?
I think it has to be maybe a gender age election. So, for example, my mother is a strong supporter of Donald Trump. But a lot of my friends who might identify as center right that are closer to my age that are females maybe aren't voting for Trump. And so the party has to, I mean, to win in future races and just to also represent our electorate, we have to do a better job at bringing those voices back into the party and making sure to elevate that as well, because that's just not sustainable long term as a party or really just as a country.
I think, though, I mean, when you look at the Republican Party right now, it's really not a Republican Party. It's a Trump party, and you can't even call it a populist party. It's really a fusion of populism and libertarianism and conservatism. So, Dalton, I'm wondering, do you see, regardless of what happens in this election cycle, is there going to be a meeting of the minds within the party to figure out what do we have here?
4 years from now, win or lose, Donald Trump is not the nominee for the Republican Party. And the party, since 2016, their identity has become the party of Trump. And people are going to have to figure out what does that look like moving forward, because nobody can be Trump but Trump. And if we try to just run candidates that act like Trump or talk like Trump, we're going to lose, because only Trump could be Trump. And so we have to have, I think, a conversation in the party. What does that look like moving forward? And what policies are we going to elevate to the American people as well?
I mean, guys, let's get real. Last night, we were watching the videos. I think I sent it to both of you guys, the video of Trump, you know, the plane lands and the garbage truck pulls up and Trump climbs on board. I've never seen anything like that in American political history before.
Yeah.
And only Trump can do that.
And you've run for political office. There's something about momentum and candidates knowing what their internal polling is showing, and that's reflected in the energy in the campaign. The breakdown between Kamala HQ and, as you see, Trump HQ, you've got the president out there. He's either at McDonald's or he's wearing a garbage truck outfit, a garbage man outfit, as opposed to Democrats right now, which seems a little bit more stressed and nervous as we're, 5 days out from this thing?
Well, politics is all about timing and opportunity, and both of those things have to collide, and they have to collide at the same time. And right now, Kamala's just happened a little too early for her campaign. And, yeah, if you're losing a campaign, you are not working on a McDonald's, and you're not driving a garbage truck. That is not a campaign that is losing, or their internal poll show they're losing. It's unprecedented. But, again, only Trump can do that. If any other candidate told me they're going to hop in a garbage truck, I would make sure that we're closing the candidate down and the campaign down immediately. But Trump can get away with it, and it elevates them with the American people as well, I believe.
I wanted to be on Trump Force One when they're telling the president as he's landing, because this is all done on the fly. Mr. President, take your jacket off and put on this orange safety vest, because it makes you look, you know, skinny. And he did it. It really does say a lot that it looks like the campaign's having fun compared to last night when Kamala Harris was interrupted 3 times in her rally and she was enraged over, I mean, the look on her face. I am speaking now.
What I thought, it reminded me when, you know, Todd, you and I visited Trump at Mar-a-Lago, and it was the same personality that we saw in private that yesterday I think America saw when he was joking about being a garbage man and driving a garbage truck. It was the same personality that I saw at Mar-a-Lago in personal conversations with him, and a very humanizing version of him, and a version that, if you watch that video, you either have to laugh or you're just having a very, very bad day,
you know,
regardless of your ideology.
I forgot about that. Yeah. So Dieter, Dalton was with me when I went down to Mar-a-Lago. And the most shocking thing about that whole interview was that, Dalton, you passed the Secret Service clearance. I was stunned.
I was stunned as well. I think it was because you had a broken foot. It gave us
I forgot about
to get past security.
That is true. But you're right. I mean, this is a guy who's very comfortable in his own skin, getting up and giving that speech in Green Bay, making fun of himself, making fun of, and he nailed it, though. He said, you know, the media is going to make fun of me for trying to get up into that cab of this garbage truck, and they did. But he's having fun, and I think you can see that. You can sense it. The question is, guys, all of those women, and again, Politico reporting, in the battleground states, you've got women outpacing men by 10 points in early voting. Are those women voting for Kamala Harris or Donald Trump? That's the question, Dalton.
And I mean, that's the question the Trump campaign has to answer, but I think Ben's right. I think their internal polling shows something.
Mm-hmm. I real quick about the garbage can moment yesterday. I don't know what we're calling it, the garbage moment with Trump on stage. It's funny. It's a bit. It's leaning into the comment made by President Biden. But also, I was watching it, and I was thinking, if I'm a garbage truck collector, that is rather neat to see a former president and what could be soon the 47th president of the United States to show that there's dignity in every job. Same thing with the McDonald's employee. Like, if you're waking up every single day, you're flipping burgers, you see a former president, one of the world's richest men, put on the outform, the uniform, the outfit, the uniform. I think it, again, shows that there is dignity in every job, whether that's building a skyline in Manhattan or taking out the trash every single day. That's why people call him the people's president.
I mean, I think you said it perfectly, and I also think that's why the media is attacking for him. They don't understand blue-collar jobs in this country, but Trump has made a campaign of recruiting blue-collar workers to his campaign, and I think yesterday, while the media is making fun of him, the average American sees something in them when they saw him on stage yesterday.
They loved it. Just that, we played all 5 minutes of it, and I normally don't do that on the program here, fellas, but I think we needed to hear that, and just to hear the audience reacting, because they were in on the joke as well. And that's what it was. It was just having fun. And then the president just geniusly wrapped it up on a very serious note, saying, you know what, these are some pretty horrible things that have been said. But they've been saying that about, you know, Republicans going all the way back to Barry Goldwater. So that's not that much of a surprise. All right, so Dalton, real quick, I know you're going to be a part of our national coverage next Tuesday, 6 o'clock Eastern. Trump win in a landslide, or is it going to be a close one? Hello, Dalton.
I think that was the scariest question of the entire...
Oh, are you there?
Yes, there we go.
We've got him.
I think Trump comes out. I think it will be a close margin. But I do think he comes out victorious. But we're not going to have to wait months to figure out who the president is. We'll know within the first week.
Maybe Dalton could get like an ambassadorship or something.
I have a question for Todd, Dalton. You know, the Deplorables Guide to Making America Great. Can you do a new edition and swap out the word deplorable with garbage?
Yes.
For a new book.
We could do that.
Because they keep on calling us different
names.
I
know, it's hard to keep up.
You can't use the Nazi or the fascist, Todd, because that won't sell. But you could use the Garbage Man Guide to Making America Great Again. Well, I don't know. I'm thinking. I'm brainstorming.
I like that. All right, Dalton, good hearing from you. And we look forward to having you as a part of our coverage on Tuesday night.
Ben, we'll start the print today.
All right, good stuff.
All right, jeez, Lou, you can write the forward. All right, hey, we've got another trivia question we're going to throw out as we go to break here. Which Halloween candy was originally referred to as chicken feed? Oh, remind me to ask you something about Joe Biden when we come back from break.
Feed, not feet.
Feed, chicken feet. Oh, my. What Halloween candy was originally referred to as chicken feed? If you know the answer, give us a call, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starton Show.
In a world where healthcare costs spiral out of control, ShareRight emerges as the beacon of hope, offering healthcare done the right way. We understand the struggle of balancing health and finances. That's why ShareRight fosters a community of support, where members share medical expenses and encourage one another. Picture saving 30 to 50% on your healthcare bills. With ShareRight, it's not just a dream, it's reality, but it's more than just savings. ShareRight grants you the access to the care you deserve, precisely when you need it. From routine checkups to unexpected emergencies, don't settle for outdated insurance. Join the ShareRight movement and experience healthcare done the right way. Visit joinshareright.org to learn more and see how much you can save. Visit joinshareright.org for healthcare done the right way. That's joinshareright.org. ShareRight is a program of IHS, one of the fastest growing healthcare sharing organizations in the country.
All right. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Have a little bit of Halloween fun today in between all the politics. You know, politics is scary enough, so we don't want to terribly over-alarm you good fine folk. But let's go to the phone lines here. We have a trivia question on the table. Angie from Georgia is hanging out with us. Hi, Angie. How are you today?
Hey, Todd, how are you? We're working our tail off. I'm sure you are, too.
Yeah, well, yeah, so you're working your tail off. What are you doing?
We are Trump Force 47 captains in the state of Georgia from Jackson County, and we have been on the Trump train for months now, door knocking. And since last Tuesday,
we ended up with our church bus, and we got 431 Republican Trump supporters to the voting poll.
Wow. That is, Angie, the studio audience is cheering right now for you. Wow. That's huge.
We're on the way to go pick up 31 more people today. And we've got 62 we have to pick up tomorrow.
Wow. Angie, wow, that's terrific. And I'm grateful to hear that news. We're going to try to win you a prize here, and our time is quickly upon us. So we need to know which Halloween candy was originally referred to as chicken feed.
Candy corn.
Oh, candy corn. I love the candy corn.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Where did you find that, Bella? Yeah. It's
pretty cool.
Congratulations, Angie. We're going to hook you up with a signed copy, first edition copy of The Deplorables Guide to Making America Great Again.
That's fine. I want to hook you up with a signed Donald Trump hat.
Woohoo! Hey, that sounds like a fine trade to me. Angie, we're going to put you on a hold. Don't go anywhere. Folks, again, we're going to throw out some more trivia questions in the next hour as well. We've also got the director of the best Christmas pageant ever. That movie comes out November 8th. Also, Caitlin Richardson from The Daily Caller has a great new investigative piece up. It's going to be a lot of fun. Stick around, everybody. Hour three coming up next.
I don't really like working.
I'm going to need a priority parking space.
I only work remotely.
How are your safe spaces?
Can I bring my dog to work?
Will your company protect me against microaggressions?
You're triggering me. Is this interview almost over?
You don't run a daycare. You run a business. So why use high-priced recruitment agencies who charge you up to 40% of an employee's first-year salary? So they're focused on getting you the costly talent, not the best fit, which means you get more of this.
What's your policy on paying employees to attend protests?
And I demand 8 weeks of vacation.
And I need at least 12 weeks of paid vacation.
I'm going to need a lot of mental health days.
Do you have a game room? My pronouns are Z's and Z's.
Isn't it time you hired grown-ups? Call redballoon.work and skip those high-priced recruitment agencies. Call 833-880-0600 for a free consultation. That's 833-880-0600 for a free consultation. Redballoon.work.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
All right. Wow. Well, I want to thank our good friends out at West Coast Baptist College. They sent me a lovely little birthday gift in the mail. Have you ever had these chocolates from California? It's called C's Chocolates, and they're very delicious. And I want to say thank you to the good people over at West Coast Baptist College. The staff is currently devouring the chocolate. But here's the one problem with the candy. They're usually, like, for example, if you go to Denstall's Chocolates, which is my favorite chocolate store here in Memphis, Tennessee, and a candy store, they've been around for well over 100 years. Great family. And if you order chocolates, you get the box of the chocolate candies, and if you open the lid, it'll tell you what flavor the candies are. But they don't do that with the C's. So you might, like, I don't know, you think you're biting into a chocolate-covered cherry and it's an apricot or something. So that's a little off-putting. But anyway, delicious chocolates, and thank you very much for the kind, and thoughtful gift, West Coast Baptist College. Real quick, I want to play some audio. Kamala Harris, just moments ago, responding to this out-of-context statement that President Trump made. You're going to hear from Kamala, and then you're going to hear the statement that Trump actually made. Let's listen.
I will comment on the former President Donald Trump's remark about women and whether they like it or not. And Listen, it's just, it actually is, I think, very offensive to women in terms of not understanding their agency, their authority, their right, and their ability to make decisions about their own lives, including their own bodies.
And my people told me about 4 weeks ago, I was saying, no, I want to protect the people. I want to protect the women of our country. I want to protect the women. Sir, please don't say that. Why? They said, we think it's very inappropriate for you to say. I said, why? I'm president. I want to protect the women of our country. They said. They said, sir, I just think it's inappropriate for you to say, pay these guys a lot of money. Can you believe it? I said, well, I'm going to do it whether the women like it or not. I'm going to protect them.
So what he was talking about before, and this is, so what you just heard was what they took out of context. Before that, Trump was actually talking about protecting women from the illegal aliens who were coming across the border and raping and attacking and killing American women on American soil. That's what he was talking about. That's the context of it. So now apparently Kamala Harris is saying, you know what? We're good. If an illegal wants to go in and rape or kill an American, yeah, we're good. We're good. How dare Donald Trump try to protect those women? How dare he do that? That's what Kamala Harris is saying. Meanwhile, all of this is going to come down to turnout on Election Day. And there has been a huge push among Republicans to lean into ballot collection, ballot harvesting. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. And let's say hello to Caitlin Richardson. She is an investigative reporter with the Daily Caller News Foundation. Caitlin, good to have you with us today.
Thanks for having me on.
All right. So you've got a report out there. What did you find?
Yes, I've been in Las Vegas here for about the past week. And early voting in Nevada is very strong for Republicans right now. The current lead is over 40,000 votes. And as you just mentioned, the party and conservatives here are leaning into ballot harvesting, which is legal in Nevada as of 2020. At a Trump rally last week on Thursday, there was a collection point for voters and supporters to come in and drop off their ballots and have campaign staff and volunteers deliver them. So that's one way they've been seeking to get more engagement from voters. And it seems to hang off as we see this lead is pretty strong.
Mm. So have you been there, boots on the ground? You've seen this with your own eyes?
Yeah, I was at the rally last week where former President Donald Trump spoke, along with Vivek Ramaswamy, Tulsi Gabbard, Marco Rubio. There's a lot of people at this rally, very high energy. I've been out talking to voters at early voting locations across the board, and a lot of people here are their top concerns as in across the country are economy and immigration. And a lot of people have told me that they think Trump is going to best solve these issues. A lot of Kamala Harris supporters that I've talked to said their first priority is abortion. But I think the main thing to take away from Nevada right now is this very strong lead that Republicans have in early voting.
On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, Caitlin Richardson from the Daily Caller. Caitlin, you mentioned Kamala Harris supporters. Would you say, based on what you've seen, and again, you're reporting on this ballot harvesting, are Republicans doing a better job collecting votes, or are the Democrats leading?
Well, as I said, the turnout right now for Republicans is pretty strong. It's much stronger than it's been in prior years. Something to note is, especially here in Clark County, where Democrats usually have a sizable lead, that lead is pretty small right now, just a couple thousand votes. And then in the rural counties, the turnout is very strong, where Republicans typically do well. And campaigns such as Sam Brown's Senate campaign are hoping this will bring them more success down the ballot. If there's greater turnout for Trump, they're hoping it'll influence those other races as well.
All right. Well, Caitlin, we appreciate your great reporting. Folks, you can find that on the Daily Caller News Foundation. Again, the Daily Caller News Foundation. Caitlin, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me on.
All right. Well, there you go. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Exercise and a healthy diet can help, but that can be hard, especially as we start to get older. It's like the choice between taking the stairs or waiting for the elevator. Sometimes the easier option can be tempting. But just like choosing to take the stairs, you can choose to get a variety of 31 whole fruit and vegetable ingredients. Balance of Nature supplements are formulated from the best ingredients available, and it's as easy as taking 3 fruits and 3 veggies capsules every day. It's a small commitment, but it can help you feel your best. Start your journey with Balance of Nature. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com to get 35% off your first order as a preferred customer with free shipping and our money-back guarantee. That's 1-800-246-8751. Go to balanceofnature.com or call 1-800-246-8751 and get this special offer by using discount code BALANCE.
All right. Well, the Joe Rogan, J.D. Vance interview just dropped, and we're efforting some audio. We'll get to that in just a moment. In the meantime, we are celebrating Halloween today. Have a little bit of fun. It's going to be a wild couple of days leading up to Election Day. So I figure, you know what? We need to just chill out for just a little while, have a little bit of fun, and play some trivia. So here we go. This is the next trivia question for all of you good people out there. According to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, what is another name for an ugly or grotesque spirit that is evil and mischievous? Another name for an ugly or grotesque spirit that's evil and mischievous. Would it be A, a Democrat, B, a goblin, or C, all of the above? That could be a trick question. So another name for an ugly or grotesque spirit that is evil and mischievous, a Democrat, a goblin, or all of the above. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. All right, so I want to get back to this Joe Rogan thing. This is pretty funny stuff here. So Rogan and J.D. Vance sat down for about 4 hours, which was longer than the Trump interview. What was the Trump interview, like 3 hours? 2 to 3? It was a long interview. Anyway, J.D. Vance and Joe Rogan having a conversation about, and I kid you not here, folks, they explain, J.D. Vance and Joe Rogan explain how men who are healthier and have higher testosterone levels tend to be conservative. And they also suspect that Mark Zuckerberg, the chief executive officer of Meta, is now actually a Trump supporter, perhaps a closet Trump supporter, but a Trump supporter nevertheless. Do we have this audio? Let's play this.
Well, Zuckerberg has gotten really into mixed martial arts. He's gotten really into jiu-jitsu and really into training. And there's very few things that will turn you into a conservative more than martial arts training. Like, there's no way to get ahead other than hard work.
Well, have you seen all these studies that basically connect testosterone levels in young men with conservative politics?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe that's what's going on.
Well, there's a certain amount of it.
Maybe that's why the Democrats want us all to be, you know, poor health and overweight is
women.
Because that means that we're going to be more liberal, right? If you make people less healthy, they apparently become more politically liberal. That's an interesting observation.
Well, I think there's like socially liberal, like live and let live, do whatever you want as long as you're not hurting anybody, which is really what I am. And then the reality.
Yeah, these labels get all confused,
yes.
Right? Yeah.
And this is where it gets sort of conflated, like the reality of hard work being a virtue.
Yes.
And this has always been a conservative idea, is that you're really supposed to like make your mark in this world and get up in the morning and work hard.
Absolutely.
And you should be proud of that.
Yes.
the only way to get good at jiu-jitsu is hard work.
Yes.
So everybody who really trains hard and gets good yeah. has a certain level of just a true understanding of the real relationship, the mathematical equation mm-hmm. of focus, time, energy, and discipline versus positive results.
Yep.
And there's only one way to excel. There's no other way to excel
That's right.
at martial arts other than training hard. So it's kind of normal that he's becoming like leaning more libertarian yeah. and wearing hoodies now.
Yeah. No, my secret. Yeah. Jacked. My secret theory is that Zuck is now a Trump supporter, but he can't say that publicly, of course. But hopefully, he is.
Really difficult to say that now. That's why guys like Bill Ackman.
All right, there you go. So, this is a fascinating. It's a fascinating conversation that guys who have higher testosterone levels would be considered more conservative. I mean, when you look at it, I mean, look at the NFL, for example. You know, a lot of the NFL players are coming out as conservatives. A lot of the veterans in the league are conservatives. You've got a lot of, like, the mixed martial arts world is like 1,000% conservative, except for that transgender chick, dude. But by and large, I mean, it's a pretty, I think there's something to this. So I'm curious to hear this, men of the Todd Stearns Radio Show audience. I mean, then look at Tampon Tim, for example. All right. The guy's a woman, right? You see him. Have you noticed yesterday he came out and he did a higher leg kick? I don't know. Do you know of any man? Do you know of any man that behaves like Tim Walz behaves? The guy gets out there and just he drops the mouth and he fakes the smile and the laugh and the, oh, hi, how are you? Love to see you, people. He's got the jazz hands and then he's throwing the leg up in the air. Even Kamala Harris is like, dude, tone it down a little bit, please. You know, yeah. It's again, that's why we were surprised that he was shacking up with the Chinese broad, allegedly. Anyway, so there you go, 901-260-5926. Let's go to Lynn in North Carolina. Hi, Lynn. How are you today?
Hello, Todd.
Lynn, we're going to try to help you win a little prize here. A happy Halloween to you.
Oh, you too.
Or Reformation Day. You know, the Christians celebrate the Reformation Day on Halloween, and they've got or is that the day after? I always get those confused. Anyway, I just stepped in it, Lynn. Excuse me. I'll have to wipe that off my shoe. So let's try to win you a prize. And what were we talking about? Oh, yes, here we go. Lynn, according to Merriam-Webster Dictionary, what is another name for an ugly or grotesque spirit that is evil and mischievous? And you have three choices. Is it A, a Democrat, B, a goblin, or C, all of the above?
Well, I'll have to go with B or C.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yes, a Democrat would meet that definition as well. Lynn, congratulations.
Thank you.
You see, you thought it was a trick question, Lynn, but but it's true. All right, Lynn, we're going to put you on hold. Congratulations, and we're going to send you a signed copy of The Deplorables Guide to Making America Great Again. Well done, Lynn. All right, there we go. And we'll be throwing out some more trivia a little bit later on in the program. All right, again, our number, 901-260-5926. I want to go back here to a report out of New York City. This is fascinating. New York City has now legalized jaywalking. So if you're not from the big city, if you're standing at a crosswalk and the light is red and you decide to walk into traffic, that's actually a crime. It's against the law to do that. But not anymore, because New York City is now legalizing jaywalking because laws banning jaywalking are apparently racist.
Jaywalking is officially legal here in New York City. The new law allows people to cross a roadway at any point, including outside of a crosswalk. Mm. Supporters of the law say people of color were unfairly targeted for jaywalking by police. City data shows police gave nearly 800 pedestrian-related summonses in the first 6 months of the year, with 77% of them going to black or Hispanic people.
Well, there you go. I mean, so may I just make a suggestion here? And by the way, this is one of the reasons why in Memphis, Tennessee, they stopped pulling over people for, you know, like doing donuts in the middle of the street and street racing, is because it was predominantly impacting a specific demographic of the population. And so they decided, the city council said, police, you can no longer pull over people for traffic violations. And it just seems to me, with this report and coming out of New York City now, that jaywalking has been legalized because, again, if you, and the whole point of jaywalking, you don't want people to walk into traffic, right? You don't want it to become a hood ornament. But apparently that is now a racist mindset. So here's my take on it. We need to just outlaw all laws when it comes to minorities in America. So if you're a minority in America, you don't have to obey any laws anymore, right? Because every law is racist. So, for example, let's just say that this coming weekend you're in Chicago, you're on the Loop, the Miracle Mile, and you decide you want to go looting, all right? Well, if you're a white person, that's against the law. But if you're a minority, well, hey, knock yourself out. Want some new shoes, a lovely purse, a flat-screen TV, help yourself. I mean, that's really where all of this is going, right? They want to outlaw any law that they might be perceived as being racist in nature. This is ludicrous, ladies and gentlemen. This is where we are. By the way, Memphis, Tennessee, the most dangerous city in America. If you want to see what Democrat policies will do to a town, you come to Memphis and I'll show you around. It's an ugly thing that's happening in our town. Ugly thing that's happening in our town. All right, we're throwing out another question here as we go to break, and this is a good one. Are pumpkins a fruit or a vegetable? Pumpkins, are they a fruit or a vegetable? Give us a call, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. In the meantime, you also need to head over to NewsmaxInvest.com because you may be eligible to buy preferred shares in Newsmax before our official IPO. Forbes magazine says Newsmax is a news powerhouse. We're going to give you the real news you can trust. Even Reuters says Newsmax is one of the top U.S. news brands. So go right now to NewsmaxInvest.com. Make sure you consult with your attorney or financial advisor. Again, NewsmaxInvest.com. That's NewsmaxInvest.com. And you can become a co-owner in the almighty powerful Newsmax. We'll be right back.
I don't really like working.
I'm going to need a priority parking space.
I only work remotely.
How are your safe spaces?
Can I bring my dog to work?
Will your company protect me against microaggressions?
You're triggering me. Is this interview almost over?
You don't run a daycare. You run a business. So why use high-priced recruitment agencies who charge you up to 40% of an employee's first-year salary? So they're focused on getting you the costly talent, not the best fit, which means you get more of this.
What's your policy on paying employees to attend protests?
And I demand 8 weeks of vacation.
And I need at least 12 weeks of paid vacation.
I'm going to need a lot of mental health days.
Do you have a game room? My pronouns are Z's and Z'er.
Isn't it time you hired grown-ups? Call redballoon.work and skip those high-priced recruitment agencies. Call 833-880-0600 for a free consultation. That's 833-880-0600 for a free consultation. Redballoon.work.
But why do I always feel like I'm in the twilight zone, and I always feel like somebody's watching me, and I have no problem.
Wow, we're going old school today. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Halloween edition of the Todd Stearns Radio Show. As we are in the home stretch, the election just around the corner, but we're also playing a little bit of trivia today, and I want to go to the phone lines, and let's say hello to Connie in Georgia. Connie, how are you today?
I'm great today, thank you.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. Connie, let's try to win you a prize. We want to know about pumpkins. And this always, you know, I'm a fan of VeggieTales, but I've always had a problem with VeggieTales, primarily because they include the tomato, Bob the Tomato. And the tomato is technically a fruit and not a vegetable.
That's right.
I was troubled by that. But then again, I mean, it's the 21st century, so maybe, you know, Bob the Tomato could identify as a vegetable. So who am I to judge? Regardless, we do need to know the answer to the following question. Let's talk about pumpkins, Connie. Is a pumpkin a fruit or a vegetable?
It's a fruit because it has seeds.
Wow, now I didn't know that. So that's how you can tell.
That's right. That's why a tomato is a fruit.
Wow, I just thought you turned the pumpkin upside down and, well, never mind, that's inappropriate. Wow, that's, geez, little Connie, I've lost control of this show. I do apologize. All right, Connie, congratulations. You are a winner. The pumpkin is, in fact, a fruit. And we're going to put you on hold, and Cassie is going to get your information. We're going to send you a signed copy of The Deplorables Guide to Making America Great Again. All right. Well, let's put Connie on hold then. Very excited about a new movie that's coming out. And I know our church, the church I attend in the Memphis area, we got to take part in a private screening of this brand new film. It's called The Best Christmas Pageant Ever. It's going to be in movie theaters November the 8th. Let's take a listen.
Okay, everyone.
For as long as I can remember, our little town has loved Christmas. And nothing is more important than our annual Christmas pageant.
The pageant is sacred.
Special mention to Grace for volunteering to direct the pageant.
But this year, the Herdmans changed everything.
Now. The Herdmans are absolutely the worst kids in the history of the world.
Hey! Give it up, Charlie!
You ready for this? I'm gonna be in your Bible play.
This is gonna be a real disaster.
That's the spirit. Would anyone like to volunteer for Mary and Joseph?
Who's Mary? Baby Jesus's mom?
Elmer. You usually like playing Joseph.
All right, there you go. A little snippet there of the trailer for The Best Christmas Pageant Ever. There's a great website, bestchristmaspageantever.movie. I want to go to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and say hello to the director, Andy Irwin. Andy, good to have you on the show today.
Todd, it's always great being with you, man. I appreciate you helping us usher in Christmas a little early this year.
Oh, are you kidding me, man? With this election cycle, we should have had Christmas a couple of months ago, Andy.
Yeah, looking for an escape from all the drama. Come enjoy some laughs.
Are incredible. You kidding? We're doing trivia questions on pumpkins for crying out loud.
Love it.
So let's talk about this movie. I am so excited. We got to see a sneak peek at our church, it's so exciting to see such a well-done Christmas movie. Tell us about The Best Christmas Pageant Ever.
You know, it's one that I think is going to become a Christmas classic, and I can't take as much credit for it as you would want to give me. This one, I got a chance to produce this one, and Dallas Jenkins, the creator of The Chosen, directed it, and so we got to collaborate. And Dallas is somebody that has been a lifelong friend, but he was at his wife was coming back from doing some shopping about 20 years ago, and she was doing her Christmas shopping, and she saw the book The Best Christmas Pageant Ever at Pottery Barn, and she bought it on an impulse buy and brought it home, and they read it to their family, and Dallas said he can't get to the end of the book without breaking down and crying, and so he just said, this has to be a movie. So he chased it for 15 years, finally got the right, brought it to us, and we took it to Lionsgate, and we got it made. And this movie is something for the whole family. It's fantastic.
I really think it's going to be on the level of the Christmas Story. It's one of those iconic, classic Christmas movies.
Yeah, it really is. It has the DNA of those throwback Christmas movies that we watch year after year. And there hasn't been a really great one done probably since Elf. And this one fits in that canon. It feels very much like the Christmas Story. It has that DNA to it. And has kind of the spirit of It's a Wonderful Life. And it's one of those ones that kind of goes beyond just kind of a obligatory one that you would see on TV kind of movie. This one feels like a classic. And so you go into it, and it's going to catch you way off guard because the laughs are laugh out loud funny. And then when it earns the heart moments, like as a grown man watching it, I was embarrassed how much I was crying. It's incredible. And I looked over at my 8-year-old daughter when she watched the early cut of the film. She was like, "Dad, I'm crying. This is my first movie cry." So it's pretty cool to see the whole family enjoy it together.
What is it that makes a Christmas movie a great Christmas movie? Are there ingredients that you look for?
Absolutely. I think what it is, and this is what really won me over to Dallas's vision for it, is he said, you know, he wanted it to feel like you were to kind of enter into one of those old Norman Rockwell Christmas paintings that you see. And it's just those nostalgic, you know, memories that we have of Christmas as a child that's kind of larger than life, that doesn't have a date stamped on it. It's not like, oh, this was the year. It's timeless. And when you enter those kind of childlike imaginations, that's kind of the world that we all kind of long to give to our children. And so I think when you can tap into something that has that nostalgia to it, and when the ones that we love that we watch year after year, like A Christmas Story, have that nostalgia to it. So this one has it in droves. It really absolutely delivers. I didn't know if he could stick the landing, but when we got done with it and we watched the final product, you're like, the son of a gun, he did it.
So I'm just curious about the filming. I'm always fascinated that many Christmas movies are actually filmed like in the summertime. And I know that was the case at Graceland, a couple of, you know, we base our show in Memphis, and they were filming a Christmas movie like in July at Graceland. And I thought, sweet mercy. What about you guys?
Well, I've done that before. You know, I've done movies where we've had snow, and it's, you know, I shot a movie once that I directed that, you know, it was 95 degrees outside in Mobile, Alabama, and we had to make it feel cold with fake snow. And so on this one, we wanted it to feel authentic. Unfortunately, we decided to make it a little too authentic. We filmed it in Winnipeg, Canada, in January.
Oh,
so every bit
mercy.
Of cold that you see in this movie is absolutely earned. Every bit of the snow is authentic. And we're up there, and the crews up there are a different breed, because it was like negative 20 a couple times with the wind chill, and we're all shivering, and they're like, "Oh, it's a good day, it's sunny outside," and we're like,
"Wow,
it's a whole different breed." So we shot it in Canada, and Winnipeg is the backdrop for this, and it's it feels like you kind of enter into one of those old, you know, Christmas snow globes. It's amazing.
I'm curious about Dallas. I'm actually very good friends with his mom and dad. And
yeah, Jerry.
It was Jerry years ago, and if you've read the book series Left Behind, that's Jerry mm-hmm. Jenkins. So years ago, my very first book had come out, and Jerry and I were scheduled to like speak at the same book writers conference. And afterwards,
wow.
They had a schedule for a signing literally side by side. So if you can imagine 150 people lined up to get Jerry's autograph, and then here's first time author Todd Starnes, and there's nobody in front of me, and I'm sitting here, oh my gosh. And then a lady comes up, and she leans in, she goes, "I'm Jerry's wife. Jerry was in the same place you were at when he wrote his first book." And then she said, "Would you please autograph my book?" And I said, "I'd be honored to," but just good. It's a good family. And that's what I'm trying to get at. What it was like working with Dallas Jenkins.
Dallas and I have each been in that situation with each other. Where, you know, we kind of started in this faith film thing around the same time. My brother and I were starting our thing, and, you know, eventually we had a breakout moment with our film, I Can Only Imagine. And so the year that came out, we were in that position where we had all the people lined up, and Dallas had a little booth at NRB that year, and I think it was 2018, had a little booth, and with this little Bible story thing he was doing called The Chosen, and he felt like he was in the position you were at, and was like, "What in the world am I doing?" And then all of a sudden that show catches fire. Fast forward several years from there, and now he's the one with all the people lined up at his table, and I'm like, "Hey, can you spare some of those fans?" So it's amazing to see how God just kind of gives somebody a moment, and we're all in this together. We're all storytellers,
Andy,
and we just want to kind of unite to tell good stories.
Andy, I want to give your podcast a plug as well. It's called The Storytellers Podcast, and you're about to release a season 2, and you're able to interview a lot of really fun and famous people.
Yeah, Todd, my dad's background is kind of in your world of talk radio, and so I grew up in a talk radio studio sitting by the engineer and listening to great stories. And so I just fell in love with storytellers. And so, you know, they said, you know, we ought to get into this podcast thing. And I was like, well, I'm not super interesting, but I got a lot of cool friends. And so I just started calling up our friends list and said, you know, these storytellers that we admire, you'd love to know their kind of what inspired their story. What are the storytellers they kind of latched onto that kind of inspired them to do what they do? And so all these people, you know, last season we had everybody from Dennis Quaid to Willie Robertson from Duck Dynasty to, you know, to Patricia Heaton. It was just an amazing time. This new season, we've got Gary Sinise. Dallas actually was my guest this week. And we've got Alejandro Monteverde that did Sound of Freedom. There's just amazing people that tell the story both in front of and behind the camera. And I've got a one coming up at the end of the year that I can't announce yet that I've been chasing for 5 years that is one of my heroes that I get the chance to sit down. And we're doing a special episode that will come out in January that I wish I could tell who it is. But when they said yes, because they never say yes to this, I just was jumping up and down, and I'm just going to be kid in a candy store. But I just get to sit down and find out what makes them tick, and it's a privilege.
I think Dennis Quaid, I watched the Reagan movie, and I was just really blown away by his performance. But I think he's really one of the most underrated actors coming out of Hollywood. The guy is just really brilliant in every single movie he's been in.
Yeah, there's just something so classic and so relatable about Dennis. I mean, he's you know, from our neck of the woods, and he's a Texan at heart. He was grew up in Houston. And there's just something about him that is, you know, he's kind of like a little bit like our generation's Jimmy Stewart. There's something about him that you just like, I like that guy and I relate to him. And so when we worked with him on I Can Only Imagine, he was just starting to step into some of the faith kind of stories. And he's really embraced, you know, our audience and has become a lifelong friend. And so, you know, we get the chance to work with him. You know, on several other things coming up. And then I saw the Reagan movie and I watched them and got to that tear down the wall speech. And I just was like, he pulled it off. I mean, to play an icon like Ronald Reagan, he absolutely pulled it off. So I'm proud of him. I'm proud of him finding his voice in a whole new way. And that's why, you know, when I started the Storytellers, you know, podcast, he was the first episode. I was like, Dennis is my first one. And, I don't want to do a movie without Dennis Quaid. He's one of my heroes.
I know whenever I write a book, you know, when I finish it, I'm thinking, okay, I really hope people come away with this idea or this thought, you know, after reading it.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if it's the same thing when you guys are putting together a movie like Best Christmas Pageant Ever. And I'm wondering, what is that message? What do you want people to come away from?
You know, I think it's, you know, what we're teasing about just even in this election cycle. You know, I think right now there's so much fear in the world. There's so many people that are just, they're really terrified to live life. And I think right now, more than ever, people are craving hope as never before. They want something to hope in. And so with any of the films we do, we try to tell stories of redemption that really point people towards hope. And this story, you know, the story of Best Christmas Pageant is, you know, the kids that were the kids people thought were unredeemable, the Herdman kids, they're the bad kids in town, end up invading this pageant, this Christmas pageant that hasn't changed for 75 years, that the whole town has kind of felt like it's sacred, but they forgot the sacred roots to the story they're telling. And it was these unlikely kids that helped them see the meaning of Christmas again. And I think that plays so importantly right now to look at something to believe in that rather than just something to be afraid of. And it preaches to the whole family, and it's just an entertaining story. People are going to love it.
Well, it's a message I think that we can all glean from. And Andy, congratulations on the new movie. I'm pretty certain it's going to become a Christmas time classic. Best Christmas Pageant Ever .movie, ladies and gentlemen, and get all the information there. Also, you'll be able to find where you can go watch it in the movie theaters. Andy, man, we always appreciate having you on the show, and congratulations.
Thank you, Todd. It's always a privilege. Love what you do, buddy.
All right. Thank you. Andy Irwin, ladies and gentlemen, the Best Christmas Pageant Ever. And I can't think of a finer movie. It's out in theaters November the 8th. We've got the information up on our website, bestchristmaspageantever.movie. What a great family-friendly movie. You're going to be able to take the whole family to it, get the popcorn, get the milk duds, and have a great time. All right, we've got to take a quick break here at 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, President Trump right now in New Mexico, and he is talking to a huge crowd of supporters there. Many people now speculating that New Mexico may, in fact, be in play. The president in Albuquerque speaking at this hour. Also, the J.D. Vance interview he did with Joe Rogan is out, and folks, it's a four-hour interview. There's a lot of content there. But what's very interesting is that J.D. Vance actually called out Ronald Reagan, and Reagan did something that caused great problems in this country. It's really fascinating that J.D. Vance would point this out, but it's true. Vance is saying that because of what Ronald Reagan did with the 1986 amnesty, so if you, many of you were not even born back then, I was barely in college at that time, but Ronald Reagan granted amnesty to millions of illegals. And as a result of that, California is now effectively a permanently blue state. A lot of, look, Gen Z, if you were to go and ask Ben Dieter, where did the conservative movement start? Ben Dieter would say Nashville or something. But it did not start there. As a matter of fact, the modern conservative movement had its birthplace in two locations. One was in Connecticut. The other was in California, and California was a very, very conservative state. As a matter of fact, the conservative movement was literally grown in Southern California. And it didn't change. It didn't turn blue and then permanently blue until the mass amnesty. And then it was a slippery slope. It's going to be a very controversial interview here. And you're going to expect to see the National Review come out pushing back super hard here. I love Ronald Reagan. He's my favorite president next to Donald J. Trump. But Ronald Reagan was very soft on the border. And that has caused big problems. And that's why Trump is so adamant on shutting down that border and getting the illegal immigration invasion under control. All right, we got to scoot out of here, folks. Been a great day. Thanks and congratulations to all of our trivia winners. We're going to have a lot of fun on tomorrow's show. Tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern, you can watch me on Newsmax. Get out there and be good, America.